Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Dice and Die Show, if that's what we're calling it.
Sure.
We still don't really know. Hey, everybody, it's me again. It's Lisa, not your usual GM. As we discussed on the last couple of podcasts, I am standing in for a little bit, taking our illustrious players through the Curse of Strahd campaign. So I'm going to introduce you to those guys now. We'll start with Gav. Gav, you're all right, Gav?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm not too bad. Are you back at work yet?
I'm in 2 days this week. But yeah, I think I'm going to be going back to work. But I've got the day off tomorrow because we, the wife and I, are going for our 12-week scan. We're parents.
Oh, are you doing shit? Oh, my God. Dun, dun, dun. That's fucking drop.
That's down. Awesome.
Natural 20. You.
Natural 20.
Insane.
Oh, my God.
That's mental. Yeah. Mm.
Good luck, man. Congratulations.
Yay.
That's great.
Thank you. That's incredible.
Congratulations.
Right. That's amazing. That's so amazing, excited man. For you. That's incredible.
So come October, baby born.
Only going to be about
November, I think.
Yeah, November. Oh,
I've got
Halloween,
to bring
baby.
Ori to see the baby.
Well, my birthday's Halloween, so I better not fucking turn up on Halloween.
I was already not sharing. Well, that's incredible news, Gav. I'm so glad I started with you. Sean, you got any news?
funnily enough, actually, we...
oh, dang. My heart can't take it.
No, not been up to much, really. Yeah, a little plug for Great British Radio again. That launched last Sunday.
It
so
did.
We've been sweating, getting stuff done. But
I think everyone's happy with the launch, though, aren't they?
It's all going well, I think. All good. Happy days. Fuck it. Shameless plug. If you've got, you download the app, Great British Radio. It's not on DAB or on the airwaves. But you can get the app, or you can say to your Alexa, "Alexa, play Great British Radio."
Wow, you need to clip that and send that in as an idea. That was lovely. That's beautiful.
It'd be Joe Pasquale saying it, and then me.
Slightly different pitch. James, how are you
Hello.
Doing, James? We have so much shocking news just now.
I know, but I'm going to beat it all right now. I've got some new strings for my guitar.
Oh, that's actually great.
Clear ones. So yeah.
What gauge? Anyway. What gauge?
Medium.
Medium. Very nice.
I don't know
very
numbers.
Nice.
I'm so professional. Yeah.
I always just buy tens. So I'm like slinky tens. That'll do.
There's six of them. No, because the tens are no good on an acoustic, though, are they? They're kind of too
wibbly.
Too thin.
Too wibbly.
I think these are like 13.
The
what's your brand, James? What'd you go for?
Elixir.
Oh,
that's my brand
nice.
As well.
Me too. No, me too.
You know, you pay extra money for them, but
they last forever.
And they play great. They're
tell
really
you what,
nice,
I've got a cheeky set of flat wounds on me Epiphone Dot. Very, very nice and jazzy, as they say.
What about the nano webs?
What I've got. See, the thing is, the last ones I had were the bronze zinc ones, I think, and these ones I've got are just bronze. So I'm in. I want to know what the difference is going to be. So I'm looking forward to putting them on.
Excellent.
Beautiful. Yeah. I'm looking forward to the music you're going to make because that's really what we want out of all of that.
Oh, yeah.
More James music.
More James music, absolutely.
Yeah, hopefully one day I'll regain my mojo and be able to do something. It'll be great.
It was there all along, James. It never left you.
Well, if you want to dust the cobwebs off with some spooky fight music, feel free.
I'll try.
Yeah, good job.
Or just send the old one back in, but occasionally you just go like, ooh, over it or something.
I think I can do that.
Or boo.
Oh, no.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry for the totally, like, I mean, I haven't got any good. I killed a man. There you go.
With the guitar strings.
I killed a man. Yeah, there you go. That's my name.
I bought the pack. Guitar strings as a ruse. I actually made a garrot and killed a man.
Yeah, exactly. I've only got five strings now.
Awesome. It's just, I can always trust you to bring that. I mean, I've got no.
I was just about to throw it back at you. What's going on? What's going on with the DM?
Well, it's really odd. Being back at work now is like really busy because we're trying to make up for like 6 months or whatever of lost work when it's an impossible task that no one should really be having to do. Yeah. So it's a bit odd. So, but now we're kind of heading into Easter break. I'm trying to take a few days to regroup and sort of go, fuck that noise. Like, it's just, it's just pointless.
Noise. What, I love that phrase. Fuck that noise.
It's because it's a lot of stress for all of the teachers, I'm sure, in every grade level are going through it at the minute. People expecting us to kind of move mountains. But yeah, I don't know. It's weird and a crazy world. And it makes me not really enjoy my job. But you know what I really do enjoy? Dungeons and Dragons.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Dungeons and Dragons.
New theme tune in the works.
There we go. So yeah, I think it's probably about time that we got back into our little game here. What do you think, guys?
Well, just before we do that, Lisa, I think now would be a great time to hear from our sponsors.
Okay. I hope you enjoyed those messages, ladies and gentlemen.
I did. I certainly did. Wow. Can't wait to get onto that website and buy the things that we're selling.
Yeah, I already did it while it was happening.
I wonder if we got... Did anyone take a note on the codes, those deals?
Oh, I've got it written down.
Okay. So let's return to our players and our adventurers in the gothic, dark, dismal, drizzly world of the Curse of Strahd campaign. We left off, or we finished with the team, the newly assembled team, still kind of strangers, really, kind of feeling each other out, getting to know each other a little bit, having met a brother and sister in need of some help in the town or the village of Barovia. Their time in Barovia so far has been very strange. They have discovered a little bit about their surroundings, but nothing about how or why they're there. Each adventurer journeyed into Barovia separately, from completely different circumstances, but ended up on the same path. They tried to traverse the mysterious mists that surround the edge of the lands, but could not escape them. And when they entered into the first sign of civilization, the village of Barovia, they were met with a cobblestoned, Victorian, Gothic-looking, very tight-knit village. They entered a tavern, which seemed to be the only source of light in the darkness of the village at the time, and they met with some of the patrons there, discussed boarding and some of the unique, interesting things that happen in Barovia with the owner of the bar, a Vistani gypsy lady, and they also met the barkeep, and I believe Hempy ordered some tea.
Of course.
So one of the other interesting things they were introduced to on that first night was the procession that they saw of the evening. Weird, do you guys remember this?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. It's fucking weird.
So, around about dusk, a procession of ethereal figures, it appeared, marched their way through the streets of the village. Ooh, Siri's freaking out. Did you hear that?
What
did it say? That was hilarious. Siri was like, didn't catch that.
Me too, mate, me too.
So where was I? A procession of ethereal figures marched their way through the village with translucent pitchforks and torches. And it was explained a little bit by the Vistani owner that this is something that happens every night and is a hangover from part of the curse that has befallen the land of Barovia. You were told about the story of the prince that befell a curse, and this is the land that he owned, and the land has been therefore cursed with it. You guys asked for details, but you didn't really get much out of the gypsy woman, except for her to say you guys really don't know the depth of the troubles that you're in. She also told you that if you wanted to seek more information, that you should speak to Madame Eva, which is someone that was mentioned to Carrion early in his campaign. Carrion,
like a shit comedy from the 80s.
Carry on the Barovia.
Is that checked luggage or carry on?
I keep doing it. Carry on. I don't know. You were... Oh, the letters. So on your travels into Barovia, you guys have picked up on two letters. One was handed to Hempy before his transition into Barovia. The other was found on a corpse on the way into the main gates of Barovia itself. Both were signed from the Burgomaster, but with different kind of stories attached to those letters, and also different wax seals. I believe at the end of the last episode, you guys discovered, with a little bit of sleuthing and going to try and find the Burgomaster, that... Well, you tell me, what did you discover?
So we discovered...
The daughter, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, the daughter wants to go and bury the father, doesn't she?
That's right.
He's dead.
Deed.
She won't leave until we bury him.
She... Yeah, but she is under the curse or the spell of...
Strahd's.
She's under Strahd's spell.
Yes.
And that's why we want to move her. But she won't move until we've buried the old man.
Yeah. And she wants out.
Well,
pretty much.
Yeah.
So just to do like the rundown of the storyline thus far, you were pointed in the direction of the Burgomaster's mansion. You went there. You actually found Ismark, who is the son of the Burgomaster, and was in the bar with you the night previous. Unbeknownst to the village, apparently, the Burgomaster had actually passed away, and you discovered that they've got his dead body in the mansion. And his daughter, Irina, is also... you know, very, very sick. And upon getting to know Ismark, he kind of explains the parts of the story to you. She is believed to be... Basically, Strahd wants her. No one really knows why, but she is tormented by him day and night. And on cycles...
Yeah, she has dreams and stuff.
Yes. She gets up and leaves of her own volition. She's been attacked. The house has been attacked. And her father appears had been killed in one of those onslaughts.
She has to be willing for it to... the spell to work. She has to be willing or something like that. I've got it written down.
Well, she's managed to shrug it off. I think as far as she can explain to you is that she doesn't have control of her wits when it happens.
Right, okay.
But you know,
she
she's standing.
Off, doesn't she?
She's standing before you. She's managed to either, you know, her dad or her brother have managed to snap her out of it, or they've, you know, other villagers have helped, or you know, on various different occasions. That's kind of the background that you get. And Irina and Ismark really want to leave, and they feel like being so close to the castle, which you guys saw the night previous again when you were watching that procession. They feel like if they can get out from under the shadow of the castle up to Valaki, which is a different village in Barovia, then they may be able to pull her out of his reach, even just for a little while, until they figure out something else to do.
Didn't we also figure out that... It was like Irina, I've got down Irina is adopted.
She is, yeah.
She's adopted. And that if you die here, you're stuck here. There was something along those lines of like people's souls are trapped here, kind of thing. And you can't leave, essentially. Or there's a very specific way of leaving or something like that.
Well, without breaking the curse, I think we're stuck. Everyone else is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I can't remember what prompted her to or Ismark to give you that information, but that is true. She is the adopted daughter of the Burgomaster.
Yeah.
And they give you the idea about the soul not being able to leave Barovia.
Yeah.
You know, maybe just giving you what they know about why this land is so weird and cursed, basically. Yeah. Just to tie that up, the other caveat is that she will not leave until her father has been buried on consecrated ground. In, you know, and preferably with the rest of the family, and wants that to be put to rest before she will move on. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we left off.
Yeah, the only other thing I've got, whether it's of any importance or not, is that I found a ring with a vine of fruit on it. On, I think it was the body.
That's that. I believe that's everything.
Cool.
I think that's got everyone up to scratch. So you guys are in the, you're still in the Burgomaster's chamber house, right?
Yep.
And you've had this conversation. You've yet to get to, you know, organizing or strategizing anything, but you have been given, or at least been asked, to assist in these tasks ahead of you. Irina looks a little bit perkier now than she did before. She's her color has improved in her cheeks. She goes over to her father's body and starts kind of preparing him, wrapping his robes up neatly, and just kind of spending some time with him, mournfully trying to prepare his body for whatever needs to happen next.
Well, we need to work out, we need to come bury the body, don't we?
Yeah, I don't think she's going anywhere with us if we don't bury the body.
Can everyone just give me really quick, because I haven't got it to hand, your passive perception?
Where's passive perception? What's that mean? Sorry.
It's underneath your skills on your character.
Skills, yeah. I'm sorry, yeah, passive wisdom perception.
That's up.
13.
16, 16 and 13, so my internet's wafting in that a bit. Mm-hmm. So Aranis, probably caught by Irina's like beauty, maybe staring at her ass. The other two of you, Carrion and Hempy, notice that Ismark is looking a bit worried and a bit kind of, you know, pondering what the next steps are in the corner.
Well, I think you look a little bit as worried as I do, to be honest, fella. I don't know about you, but how are we going to get this fella, this the old dead parrot, so to speak, over to this said graveyard?
Well, there's more to this than, there's yet more to this mission than meets the eye, I'm afraid.
All right.
The church within the village of Barovia, the priest there hasn't left the grounds for more than 10 years. I can't really put a number on it. I've been up to see him, but he shuts me out, and he is the only one in the village that knows of the Burgomaster's passing. But even he wouldn't leave his grounds to come and help me. I fear that we might need to convince him first before we can even, you know,
what, take my father's body over. Ceremony.
I think does so. Anybody know charmed person?
Does anybody know a charm spell?
Charm spell. Unfortunately, anyone? I'm not quite prepared for that today. But just to, how far away is this church that you speak of?
Oh, it's just up. It's up to the north, northwest of town. It's probably 20-30 minute walk.
So, what are you saying, that he won't let us in if we don't? Like, at the moment, he's not willing to bury the body.
He hasn't let anybody in. There's been no ceremonies. I've already pleaded with him once to come here and help us, but he won't leave the church. He's boarded the doors.
And this is your guy. You know, we can't just take this guy and dump him in an hole around the corner. I know lots of, you know, as Pelor once said, as long as the holy man is there, then bury whoever you like.
And as once Aranis Nalo said, every hole is a goal.
Happy days.
So let's just dig a ditch out the back and throw him in.
Savvy?
I understand that you may be savages from the lands that you're from, but what you don't understand about this strange world is that no matter your, you know, the depth of understanding you have with your God, if you try to consecrate the ground around here, the dead will still rise. And the only way that we can be sure that that won't happen to our dear father is to take him to our church.
Well, that makes sense why the priest has locked himself in then.
Indeed. He's petrified. Hmm. It's going to take some convincing.
Well, let's go and have a chat with him. Now, for the purposes of, you know, moving this on a little bit, are we taking him with us, or do you think we should go and speak to the Preak first? All I'm seeing is a very funny Weekend at Bernie's type scenario about to happen, and I think we should go with that. In fact, I insist.
Is Mark kind of looks at you guys and is kind of, is, you know, what do you guys suggest? If you know, I'll follow your lead. You know, you're helping me, so.
Are we not really meant? Are we keeping this death a bit hush hush? Is what I'm saying.
I think.
Are we dragging the body out or not?
I don't think we should take the body till we know we can get it in.
No, fair enough. What Buddha said. Let's do that.
Okay, that seems like a good plan as any. The only reason that I've kept my father's death from the majority of the village is because, he was Irina's most fervent protector. If Strahd knows that he is dead, then that could increase the onslaught, you know, tenfold, or at least that's my concern. So that's why I've kept it kind of hush hush for now.
Aye. Well, should we go and pay a visit to the Padre?
Who's gonna stay behind and look after the body? I'm not entirely sure.
Is it safe to leave Aranis with a body that can't fight?
Is it safe to leave Aranis with a body? Well, Irina and Ismark will
look after the body.
Yeah, they're happy to stay until you guys return with word that you can.
At the same time, you know, we're unfamiliar guests of said priest, so would it not be wise that one of these came with us? To be like, it's all right, I know these fellas. Well, they're
we
great.
Could show the ring, couldn't we? About the ring?
We'll take the ring.
Would that say that we're from him, from the whatever it's called?
Irina's kind of overhearing your plans. She's going to take from one of the nearby sideboards a piece of an ornament. But as she comes over to you and hands it to you, you see that it is kind of, it looks like a religious holy symbol. There's pictures of the sun and different seasons passing, images of life and death on this kind of elaborate brass bronze ornament. And as you look at it, you kind of clock that, oh wait, this whole place is filled with these holy symbols or kind of from various different gods. You get the impression that these guys have tried pretty much fucking everything.
Right,
they're
okay.
Just kind of like, so she hands you something that she feels like she might be, you know, might be recognizable.
Do I recognize this as anything close to like what I know?
Roll a religion check. Rolling some dice in Dungeons and Dragons.
Nine.
I think that's a perfect role for Carrion. Palor's the sun, right?
Yeah, that's who I.
You see this as a symbol of Palor.
This is a symbol. Oh, fellow Palor people. Palor's people. Kind of like Pan's people, just less dancing.
Palor's people. Well, basically, what you gather is that because there is the sun depicted as the main part of this holy symbol, that whatever pantheon of gods this would be, Palor would be the top dog.
Yeah.
So you are definitely feel connected to this holy symbol. So she tells you that you would, you know, the priest would know this item because the priest gave us this item, you know, a few moons back to add to our collection of protection.
Does this priest worship a particular god, or?
Irina says to you, she says, I've met many a visitor from outside of Barovia, and again, many of them don't understand how far from their gods they are when they're in this place. The priest at the church is looking for a god. He's looking for divine intervention. But there is no name attached to this god. And then Ismark pipes up and says, you know, with the years of this land being cursed, I'm under the impression, or at least, you know, my father told me that the gods of old that would have been worshipped in the days of the birth of the land of Barovia have been forgotten because people have been scared to speak their names. Because really, there's one person who wants to be the true leader of this land in all senses of the word. So we'll give you that information with a little bit of sadness.
Well, maybe, you know, I can have a little chat with the priest and see if we can get the word of Pelor spread throughout this damned town.
Cool.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's the next move?
I suppose we head up to the church, don't we?
Yeah. Do we know where it is? We've been given directions.
North,
and it's always north.
Thorough directions. So I'm just getting my map up. Yeah, directly northwest. So you're heading back up that straight road down the centre of town. When you get to the main crossroads, there's a road that travels northwest. You head up there, and you will actually see the church at the top of that that road.
Yeah.
So right. You've not travelled this far north or west in the village so far, and as you head outside. What time of day did we say it was? It was like afternoon, right?
I just presume it's always nighttime. Like, I don't know why.
Yeah,
it's always dark.
I was thinking that too, yeah.
There's a day and night cycle. You left early morning, didn't you?
Yeah, we did.
Because we had a night's sleep, didn't we?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's even just that late, yeah.
Yeah, it's just drizzly and dark. There's no like beautiful sunrise or anything. It's overcast and...
Essex.
Constant drizzly rain. Before you leave, Ismark and Irina just give you all a very, you know, grateful shake of the hand and wish you well, and you know, they wish they could give you more help and you know, guidance, but this is, you know, you're their only hope. They tell you to be really careful of the streets of Barovia, of the village of Barovia. They tell you to be careful of the village, but you know, beyond that, they're just grateful for the assistance. So how are you going about doing this? Are you just marching through town? Are you going to try and be sneaky about it? Or are you... What are we doing?
I thought we would just head there like normally. We don't want to start sneaking now.
Yeah, I find no reason to be... Yeah.
Yeah, because you've been given no reason to be particularly sneaky.
I think whether you want to... use my passive perception for this, or you know, whatever. I don't know how you want to do it, but I know that this is a weird place, and things aren't quite right. So I feel like I'm just constantly scanning, and
I think we all are. I think definitely mm-hmm. so.
Yeah, I'm not comfortably walking through town. You know, it's a.
You're keeping an eye out.
Yeah, it's cautious.
But we're on our guard.
Yeah, eyes are everywhere.
You head out the front door of the Burgomaster's mansion. It's dark and drizzly, as it was when you entered. It's probably mid-morning, early afternoon time about now. But there's still, you know, you can't see a sun in the sky. It doesn't pierce the clouds, at least. And there is, on the edges of the houses and in the alleyways in between, there is still that mist that kind of permeates constantly around you guys. As you step outside of the house and head down the path back down the main road past a couple of houses, you start to hear that faint sobbing yet again that you heard on the way in. This time it's on your right. Do you continue past
is this the same house?
It is the same house.
The same house, but we've got...
I'm intrigued,
but
I know some shit's gonna go sideways if we go in there.
You can still continue on.
Yeah.
I just have to mention it because it's there. Like, it's there and it's persistent.
I think we continue on.
No problem.
Yeah.
You continue on past the unsettling whimpering.
Guilt.
And then...
Past the clickbait.
I think, Carrion, you were saying that you were going to keep an eye out. So roll a perception check for me, please.
Oh, I'm good at this one. Well, not unless you roll shit. So I rolled a 6, so it's 12. Please, Bob.
Can I roll too?
Everyone can roll, actually. Yeah, go on.
Bummer. Can I roll again?
No, you can't roll again. Nice try. 10.
12.
Awesome. So as all three of you just head down into the centre of town, you're just sort of taking in the environment and the surroundings in their unsettling and strange. The only wildlife that you really notice around here, you know, any tree that has sprung up from the ground is dead and appears to be kind of leafless and straggly. Or leaves that are left behind are kind of grey and brown and acrid. Now and again, you see a dark, large, dark black kind of bird, probably a raven or crow, perched up in a different eaves or a different house somewhere. But that's all you noticed as you're heading down the main tower. There doesn't appear to be any immediate danger. So you head up.
Sorry, just to add to that, can I actively keep track of what I think may be crows on ravens?
You may.
One more so than the other. I think generally I want to figure out if it's all ravens or if there are crows here, especially.
Sure. Roll a nature check.
Oh, where's Puck when you need him? 12.
12.
I've rolled shit.
It's really hard to make out at this distance at the moment if these birds are just completely in shadow or if they're, you know, crows or ravens or, you know, a subspecies of both. You just can't quite work it out just yet. You've got to keep an eye out for it, though, as you go.
I'm fully aware of. Just I want to see if these are all ravens or if there's particularly a vast amount of crows here. I think that's the main thing.
So there's no vast amount of anything at the moment. It's just the odd... creature here and there, so perhaps if you see a you know, a group of them, you might have a better chance of making a check.
Okay.
As you head up towards the main kind of path for the church and you pass the last houses before there is a kind of larger opening and the mists part, you notice that the ground starts to it rises, so you're kind of walking a little bit uphill now as you head up this path. You can see above you the castle in the distance, but closer than it was when you spotted it on that night in the inn. Shrouded in shadow and mist, but it's there, looming over the town as it ever was. And you get the sense that this church is at the base of whatever strange, craggy stone mountain that castle sits atop. The church itself has obviously weathered the assaults of evil. There's claw marks on the stone outside, the wire, the wrought iron fencing that kind of takes the entire perimeter of the church is bent and weathered and knocked down in places. It looks battered and unkept. There's a bell tower that rises towards the back, and there is a shingled roof that's broken in places. And because it is so dark and dreary, you can just about detect some light inside the building. But again, windows are shuttered or openings are shuttered. Doors are shuttered. Heavy wooden wooden iron doors closed to any visitors. Doesn't look welcoming, to say the least.
Is it worth checking the perimeter?
Yeah.
Can I have a little... just have a quick look around and
cheeky like shifty up. How high is the bell tower, Lise?
You get the sense that it's like the second story, so there's like there's one story, which is probably a high ceilinged main central church chamber, so it's probably about a story and a half high, and then the bell tower's on top of that main structure,
and it drops straight down like a of like a chimney, so to speak, into the building.
Yeah.
All right.
And it's in the, from what you're seeing at the moment, it's in the middle at the back.
Can I just climb over this wall and let us in?
Yeah. So you are, you know, the main gate that you approach is completely like fallen over. There's nothing stopping you from approaching the front door.
Okay.
So you can monk shit over it. But there's not much need to. and as you get to, you can just approach the building.
let's do that then. Approach in a
normal
way.
Yeah, should we just go
the building?
Let's go for. I'm just gonna go up and knock on the door.
I'm gonna hold my hands up while you knock at the door, so just to show we got no, we mean no harm.
I'd look at him weirdly and copy him.
So you knock at the door. There is a beat. You don't hear anything.
Is there a window that I can look through? Something I can see into the building?
Make a perception check.
Okay, that's about... what's that, plus six? 18.
18. So you actually walk to the kind of left-hand side of the main doors. And as you circle around, you see what would have been sort of really elaborately stained glass windows that have been mostly shattered and boarded up. So you maybe see like a corner of glass that has remained. And with that 18 check, you find a corner of glass that you feel like you could probably peer inside if you approach it. It's very dusty and grimy, so I'm going to take a little spit shine. Yep. Lovely. Sound effects opportunities always. So you kind of make a little bit of a circle of the field of view. You peer inside, and because you're kind of to the left of the main entrance, what you see, what looks to be like a bed chamber. You see an unmade bed, very simple furniture. There's very little light coming in here, but you'd sense that there's a door, an open door on the other side of the chamber where the light's kind of coming in from. And yeah, that's what you see.
I want to see, is there like a lot, I want to kind of see if I can see into the main area. So is there, do I know that if I was to, is there another window I can look through, or?
You could continue around the building.
Yeah, I'm going to also pick up a rock and have that in my hand ready.
So as you turn around and start to make your way, following this building around, your passive perception picks up a noise ahead of you. You are stopped in your tracks by the sound of what appears to be grunting and snuffling.
Oh, it's Aranis.
Somewhere close by.
And that's coming from inside.
He's not had a shag for a while, that's fair.
If you stop for a second to try and work out where you hear that from, it's actually coming from your west. So it's coming away from the building. As you turn around to kind of maybe catch where you can see this, the source of this sound coming from, you see two hands lunge out at you towards you from the mist. Roll initiative.
Ooh.
23.
19. Old
19 as well.
Oh, I've got to remember all the things my character can do now.
Yeah, I've not done anything before.
Oh, yeah, it's fighty time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I might be able to use my my firebolt.
Nice. Hempy, because you are close by, you notice this... you obviously know that Carrion went around that corner. You know that he's in some sort of issue. So it is your turn.
20, 30, 40. I can't get within range of him. I can only get there.
Okay.
That's that, isn't it?
So you could take your action to, like, do other stuff. You can use an action to...
I love that this first fight, everyone's like, trying to incessantly go through their notes.
How do you D&D
like,
again?
Ah. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we haven't done it for a while, so it's...
What's this dodge thing, then?
It focuses your life on avoiding attacks. So it basically, I think the mechanic is...
Sorry to
be... Take the dodge action, you focus entirely on avoiding attacks until the start of your next turn, and the attack roll made against you has disadvantage.
Okay, just put that.
If you can see the attacker and you make dex saving throw an advantage,
So I do some.
So you are
sort of like Jet Li, like
defending. Yeah, beautiful. Okay, that's all you can do in your turn, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Carrion.
Have I got eyes on what this is?
You can now see a visage of horror a humanoid figure that, you know, you make out parts of what looks vaguely human, but the hair is missing patches and it's long and wet and greasy and straggly. And then as you bring your eyes down to the face, there's large chunks of flesh just missing, and a jaw definitely out of place and hanging off. And it's making a horrifying noise towards you. Like a noise. I'm bad at noises.
Right. I'm just going to take a step towards it. And I was going to cast Inflict Wounds on the motherfucker. Does that just automatically hit then? As a spell?
You tell me. I don't know all the spells.
Make a melee spell attack. So I presume I roll for that.
So you have to roll an attack with your spell casting modifier.
Which is plus 6. 16 plus 6. 22. Nice. Takes 3d10.
Yeah, that will hit.
3d10 necrotic damage.
Right.
Fucking hell.
I'll be using this one a fair bit.
Sure, go ahead.
It's a 9 and a 9 and a 0, which is a 10, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it is.
So that's
10 total?
28.
So 28 points of damage total.
Yes.
Yeah. Fucking hell. Holy fucking shit.
I like that
spell.
So,
that's a touch spell, right? You have to touch it.
Yeah, touch spell, instantaneous, one action.
Where do you touch it?
Show us on this doll.
I think, to be honest, if it was coming at me with the hands, I would have grabbed the arms, maybe. Yeah, the hands were the first thing coming at me, weren't they? So I would have pushed them away and maybe grabbed them.
So you grab it by the wrist, let's say, and you pulse that kind of spell energy into its arm, and you watch as the flesh begins to retreat on its arm and the bone disintegrates and turns to dust. And as you stand there kind of horrified, the arm from the shoulder comes off in your hand.
Okay.
The necrotic damage continues to burn into the body, and this creature looks mighty wounded. Okay. Aranis. It's your turn.
I'm going to shift up. I can move up to here. Now, can I... I've got a... I'm going to use my firebolt. But can I shoot through people, or do I have to use disadvantage because I'm shooting through?
Shoot through an ally. That's fine with me.
Okie doke.
I would get the impression that as a free action, you'd say duck, and then that person might go, whoop. Yeah. And then you would fire. That's fine.
Get out of the way. I rolled a 19.
That hits.
I'm guessing it's 1d, 1d10. This spell's damage increases by 1d10 when you reach fifth level, so it's just going to be 1d10.
Sure. And I know that's right, because that's the class I play in my other game.
I rolled a 5.
So. That creature, the dart aims good and true and goes straight through the center of its head, and the burn damage kind of swallows the entire creature, and it is left as a pile of dust in the ground.
Kabla.
Dead. Deceased. Fucked
Breath
up.
Of life. Yay. He sleeps.
Is that everything for your turn, Aranis?
Yeah, I think that's all I can do. I fired me. I moved my full movement and fired a fireball, so
okay.
What is that?
What on the turtle?
From Carrion and Hempe's perspective, you can now see that another enemy has joined the fray, a similar looking creature ahead of you. From behind that creature, there's another humanoid figure. Luke, it's your turn. He's really confused.
Who?
From the shadows emerges.
Camera pans in.
Something that you've probably never seen before, actually. Maybe some of you are magically trained. Possibly resemble some kind of construct, maybe some kind of golem. Made of, like, mostly metal and wood. Weird kind of, like, vines holding it together. Wearing this kind of strange type of hat with a rimmed hat comes charging forward. Next to its side, it's kind of wharf made of, again, metal and like clockwork, and very, very strange, comes charging out of the shadows.
Jesus Christ.
Brandishing a shield on one arm, and from its back pulls out a long sword that charges forward, and we'll make a swing. And let's see if we can enter with some flourish.
And the natural one.
Well, actually, a 16 plus a lot, 23. Total, not 16 plus 23.
Yeah, that'd be Jesus Christ.
Oh, show him.
23 overall to hit. I'm going to assume that that is a hit.
Yeah, that's my hit.
And D8. A D8 is the funny looking one. A D10 is the most perfect dice of the lot. It is beautiful. Eights are the funny ones. And
I like eights are like pyramids stacked on top of each other. You can describe that. Whereas a 10 is like hard to describe.
See, my spinning top, isn't it? My role-playing background comes from playing D100 systems. I used to play Rollmaster, so D100 system, so I'm used to using D10s.
Right.
And in World of Darkness,
yeah, it looks more like a spinning top, you're right.
Oh, and he comes in like a trooper, rolling in. So he charges in from the shadows, shield in hand. As he runs in, he pulls a sword out from the back from his sheath on his shoulder, pulls it round, swings round, doing a whopping 13 points of damage.
Noir.
Of, if it makes any difference at all, magical damage.
Magical damage? I've not even heard of that kind of damage.
Damage dealt.
This is... Have I got to go and buy a new book now because of this? I bought books that explain everything, and that's been a lie, clearly. What's this, then?
It's a magic dealt. Magic dealt? Damage just dealt by a magical weapon.
By a fucking robot.
Yeah, it's just damage. Yeah. You know, you would know that. Okay, so that's an attack action. You've used some movement, but not a lot. Is there anything else you want to do on your turn?
Using my bonus action, he then calls out,
"Here, Spud."
I haven't developed the voice yet. It's been bugging me all week as we've been mind what kind of voice to do. Dog, kill the dog.
So your dog is going to be this dude with blue and green dot. It's you again, but with a blue and green dot for now, because I can't.
Moves on my action, but cool. I can use a bonus action to command it. It is going to make an attack. Oh, an 18 plus whatever it's got. 22 to hit.
Yep.
Fucking 5 points.
D&D challenge rating is shit.
5 points. Five points of damage, as it does what's called a force empowered rend. Plus one to hit. Yeah, it basically just is like a bite. It just jumps up and just bites at it and stands in front of it, growling.
Awesome. So where on the body does it bite?
These like kind of like shambling kind of zombie type creatures. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, I was on my phone ignoring you guys while you were playing.
Welcome,
as is expected.
If it's like
welcome back,
charges in, jumps up, bites it on the arm as it's kind of stumbling forward, and then kind of like to get its attention, and there's this like squats down in defense position. It looks kind of like as I say, it's a robot dog, but kind of like the Littlest Hobo. It's got a little neckerchief and everything.
I love that. That's adorable. So you notice as your dog does attack that the arm that has been attacked doesn't come off, but definitely stretches and elongates with like sinew and muscle and tendons that are no longer attached that should be. And that is that the end of your turn?
That will be the end of my turn. Hello, everybody.
Hey.
Hello. My name's Luke. I'm your best friend.
just best friend now.
No longer your host or a GM.
Yeah. Welcome back.
But I'm still going to haunt your dreams.
So, okay, that's the end of your turn. And that's going to be the end of our episode for this week. Join us back in the middle of combat next time on the Dice and Die. Luke's back. Yay!
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 From all of us here at the Dice and Die, thank you so much for downloading our podcast. If you enjoy listening to us, then please head over to iTunes, Stitcher or Podchaser.com and leave us a review. Thank you to our very own James Blyer for all the music you hear during our shows. And finally, thank you to, well, me, this is awkward, for all your video production, audio editing and content creation needs, head over to my website, seanleefilms.co.uk. Thank you once again, and we'll see you next time. The Dice and Die is unofficial fan content permitted under the fan content policy and is not approved or endorsed by Wizards. Portions of the materials used are property of Wizards of the Coast, LLC.
Oh, hello there. Bird bolt thrower here. Excuse me one second. Oh, you bastard. Oi, Scapes. Wrap up a bit of that old meat for me, will ya? Do you sometimes find yourself in the midst of battle wondering if a creature is flanked? Wondering if you meet the criteria for sneak attack? Well, look no further. Grab your player's handbook or other D&D books at langdongames.co.uk using the code DICEANDDIE for a whopping 15% off of their D&D range. That's langdongames.co.uk. Happy adventures.
Danger, mystery, intrigue. Think you've heard all that actual play podcasts have to offer? Think again. I'm Nate Peterson. I'm Nate Peterson, the dungeon master for... Yes, Stuart, what can I do for you?
I know naught of this, Stuart. My name is Dweezil Vansafir, the Bard of Bards.
Well, firstly, your name's Stuart and you're from Yorkshire. Secondly, I don't know if you've noticed, I'm trying to record an advert for our show.
Well, firstly, in your parlance, I've never even heard of this Yorkshire. And secondly, if there is a show to be advertised, then surely it should be I, Dweezil Vansafir, to do the advertising.
I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, surely this is a job for me as the Dungeon Master.
Perhaps a, song.
No, I certainly don't think it's time for a song.
Five adventurers, brave and true, strong of will and strong of arm, a band unbreakable through and through, they protect each other from insult and harm. What more persuasion could one require? Tune in to hear our tales.
Dice and Desire. You see, Stuart, words do have power, but certainly not as much power as the Dungeon Master. Join me as I corral my merry band of misfits through Storm King's Thunder every week on Dice and Desire, a 5e actual play podcast.